Hi there. Welcome to the Carter Report, and thanks so much for joining us today for Focus on Prophecy. Today we're going to show you some of the most amazing prophecies ever written in the Hebrew Scriptures. These prophecies talk about the coming of a mighty prince, a mighty king, and a person who would come to redeem and to save his people. Many people have said to me, "Is there any evidence to prove that Jesus is really the Messiah? How do we know that Jesus is not a fraud, that Jesus is not an imposter?" These prophecies today are going to give you absolute evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, friend, I want you to come with me downtown Los Angeles to the great Shrine Auditorium for these amazing prophecies about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your Savior, and my Savior. Welcome today to the Carter Report.
Prophecy. It's used to peer into the future, but it must be learned from the past. The Carter Report presents Focus on Prophecy. From the Shrine Auditorium in downtown Los Angeles, John Carter unravels the mysteries of Bible prophets and brings modern meaning to this ancient book. And now, John Carter.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. You listen to me, please. The death of Jesus Christ was unlike any other death. The Bible tells me that God the Father laid on Jesus Christ, his own Son, the iniquity of the world. In some way that you and I can't understand, all the sin of mankind, the sin of past and present and future, your sin and my sin, every dirty thing we've ever done, every mean thing we've ever done, every dishonest thing you've ever done, every cruel thing I've ever done, it was all laid upon Christ. When it was laid upon Christ, Christ became, as it were, in the words of the great apostle Paul, sin for us. And when Jesus went to the cross, he went there to die the death that you and I ought to die. Christ paid the price for our sins. Years and years ago, in the great city of London, on the Thames that flows through the heart of London, years and years ago, they had a way of getting rid of the garbage and the sewage of that tremendous metropolis. They had a little ship, a filthy little boat that was called the sludge vessel. And every morning you'd see the sludge vessel going down on the bosom of the mighty Thames, and the filth of the city was taken out into the Atlantic Ocean and it was dumped there. I want you folk to know today that Jesus Christ had the filth of the world placed upon him, and he went to the cross and he left it on the cross. On the cross, if you and I will believe, Jesus Christ can take from us the sludge. He can take the sin out of our lives. That's why he came. The reason he came was to become our sin bearer. And the Bible says, God the Father laid on him the sin of the world. The American Civil War was one of the bloodiest wars in the history of the human race. They had the greatest casualties. They had worse casualties than when the French and the British fought on the fields of Waterloo. And there was a group of American soldiers who were found guilty of desertion. It was decided that they would punish these men by every man, number 10, they were going to get all these American soldiers during the Civil War and line them up, and they would have those men number off 1, 2, 3, right through to 10, and every 10th man was going to be taken away and shot. And there was a father there, a silver-haired father with his son, with his teenage son. And as they were counting down the rows, the boy counted down the row, and he saw that his father was going to be 10. Number 10, and his father would be shot. And the boy thought of, this American boy thought of his mother back home, and he thought of the little kids. And before his father could shout number 10, the boy got his father and pushed him aside and stood in number 10 and counted number 10 and marched away. I want to tell you Christian people sitting here today in the land of America, Jesus Christ counted 10 for us. And Jesus came and stood in our place, and he marched away for us. He went to the cross because of sin. It was sin that put Jesus Christ on the cross. And the very, very center of the Christian faith is the cross. I want to tell you something today. Most of us in this part of the world have a religion that is a mile wide and is an inch deep. It is a religion that is based mainly on hyped up religious emotionalism. I want to tell you something. The cross was an ugly thing. The cross was a vicious thing. The cross was a cruel thing. When God's own son came down to this hellhole, they put him on a cross. And you know the ones who put him on the cross, don't you? We put him on the cross. We put him on the cross. The Bible tells us that sin put him on the cross. And let's not be too self-righteous and blame other people and say, the Romans did it or the Jews did it. The Bible tells us we put him on the cross, every one of us. And the Bible says that God's Son went to the cross and he was the sin bearer. Why do you think he died in just 6 hours? A man could live on the cross for a week. In fact, people lived on the cross for a week, and the blood would drain into their feet, and the birds would come and pick out their eyes, and they would go through hell on the cross. But the cross did not kill a man quickly. The wounds were superficial. Nails in the hands and nails in the feet, and Jesus had been beaten on the back. But Jesus, remember, was a carpenter, and he was only in his 30s. And he was a strong man. But when they came to Pilate and they said, we want the body of Jesus, Pilate said, but he wouldn't be dead. He wouldn't be dead. And they came and they broke the legs of the thieves, that they didn't break his legs because he was dead. It wasn't the cross that killed him. It wasn't the cross that killed him. It wasn't the cross that killed him. It was our sin that killed him. That's the teaching of the Bible. And if you and I can break out of the shallowness of our religious denominations, then we would be a little closer to the heart of God, and we'd know what a rotten thing sin is and how much God loves us, how much he loves us. You know what the cross says? The cross says, I'm not angry with you. God says through the cross, I'm not angry with you. I love you. What more can I do to prove it to you? What more can I do to prove it to you? What more can I do to prove it to you? I love you, is the message of the cross. You know the way he would die was prophesied. Did you know that? Crucifixion. They didn't even crucify people back in the days when these words were written. But I want you to come to page 477, Psalm 22. Verses 14 to 18, Psalm 22, 14 to 18, these are the words of David. He lived about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. They didn't crucify people back in those days, but he spoke about something here amazing. In Psalm 22, verse 14 to 18, he describes the death of Jesus in such language that you wouldn't believe it. 477, 477. Jesus said, before he was born, he wrote his own story here. He said, verse 14, I'm poured out like water. Oh, my bones are out of joint. You know why his bones were out of joint? A lot of you men think here today, some people think at least that Jesus was a mamby-pamby. Jesus was a strong man. Jesus was a man's man. It wasn't true, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus could be gentle. Jesus could be meek. But Jesus could be strong, and he was strong. He was the Son of God. And Jesus says, all my bones are out of joint, because the cross was an instrument of horrendous torture. The person's body was so twisted that it was out of shape, and a person couldn't breathe, and the bones would be in hell. But this was not the pain that the Son of God felt most of all. The pain that he felt most of all was the sin of the world crushing down upon his soul. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Read on, would you? He says, all my bones are out of joint. And then verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. He was thirsty. You have brought me to the dust of death. The dogs have surrounded me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Now listen to this. If there's a skeptic here, listen to this. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Jesus said, they pierced my hands and my feet. Back in those days, they never crucified people. But Jesus said, they crucified me. They're going to crucify me. And then he said, and this is the Son of God talking, he said, they would sit down and they would gamble over my clothing. And as he was hanging on the cross, they sat down, the Romans, and they gambled over his clothing. And friend, it was all foretold. You see, the Bible is unlike any other book in the world. This is a book of prophecy. This book can see the future, and it tells us that Jesus Christ is the very Son of the living God who came down in a human body and died on the cross. That's the good news. And because he died on the cross, you and I can have freedom from sin. You know that? You and I can have freedom from guilt. You and I can have freedom from fear. You and I can have freedom from depression. You don't have to be downcast anymore. You don't have to go around with a guilt complex, because if you come to Jesus in true faith, and if you kneel at his cross and say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jesus will say to you, I say to you, you're going to be with me in paradise. That's the good news of the cross. Forgiveness. Reconciliation, and I love you, says God. Come now to Psalm 16, and here it talks about the resurrection. Would you believe it? 1,000 years before Jesus came to this earth, his resurrection was foretold. Page 473, Psalm 16 and verse 10 and verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 10, verse 11. 463, Psalm 16, please notice it in the copy of the scriptures. Psalm 16, verse 10, and then verse 11. He says, for you, this is Jesus talking before he was born, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, or the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Jesus said, my body is not going to see decay. It's not going to be corrupted. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The Bible tells me that even though they put him in the tomb, they couldn't keep him in the tomb. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what happened to the body of Jesus? What happened to the body? A story got around saying the disciples came by night and they stole the body. I don't believe it. You know why I don't believe it? Those broken, dispirited, depressed disciples of Jesus didn't have it in them to storm the tomb and to overpower the Roman guards and take the body. And the Roman soldiers weren't sleeping on duty. Listen, the disciples didn't get the body. Well, some people say the Romans, that the reason the tomb was empty was because the Romans got the body. If the Romans got the body, they would have produced it and squelched the argument and the story of the resurrection. And if you say to me, well, the Jews got the body. My friend, the Jews didn't get the body because of the Jews. If the hierarchy had gotten the body, that would have been the best thing that the Jews could have thought of, because they would have said, here is the body. Your Christ is dead. What happened to the body? The body was resurrected. That's what happened to the body. The body was resurrected on the Sunday after the Sabbath, the Bible says. A mighty angel came down from heaven, and there was the stone, and he went to the stone and he rolled away the stone. And then the Bible says he sat on the stone. He just sat on it. And the Bible says those strong, brawny Roman soldiers, those big, tough men, they just fell to the ground like little babies. And Jesus walked out of the tomb and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what he said. And the good news, he's alive. The good news is this. Listen to me. Death is defeated. You don't need to be afraid of death. You don't need to be afraid of crime. You don't need to be afraid of drugs. You don't need to be afraid of anything, because Jesus has defeated the devil. You know that? He has defeated the devil. He has defeated death. And the good news, the Bible tells me, when you and I come to Jesus Christ, and I hope everybody here has, if you haven't, you're missing out on the greatest blessing, and you're still living in darkness, and you ought to wake up to yourself. You hear what I'm saying? If you haven't come to Jesus, you're living down in the sludge. And the Bible tells me when a person comes to Jesus Christ, he shares in the victory. He shares in the death. God says, I look upon his death to cover your death. He died in your place. And because he rose from the dead, the good news is I'm going to live for eternity. You know that? To live for eternity. Don't you want to live for eternity? Doesn't that do something to you today? Doesn't that make you glad to think and to believe that you and I can live for eternity? And death is defeated. Death is gone. Death is broken, because Jesus came out of the tomb. And there's one thing that Jesus is still going to do. Jesus said, he said these words to his disciples just before he went to the cross, just before he went down into the tomb, just before he came up, he said to them, I will come again. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to come again. He said, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come back as Lord of lords and King of kings. I'm not going to come back to be born in a stable. I'm not going to come back to Bethlehem. I'm not going to come back to be rejected. I'm coming back to rule this earth and to set up my kingdom. That is the good news of Easter. If Easter has a message, this is the message of Easter, and I want you to believe it. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and sin is a filthy, dirty, rotten thing. And if you hold on to sin, it's going to make you filthy, dirty, and rotten too. But the Bible tells me if I come to Christ, he'll wash me in his blood and he'll make me clean. And the Bible tells me we don't serve a dead Christ. We don't have a Buddha. We don't have a Lenin. We don't have somebody in a tomb. We have a living Christ who is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Isn't it true? Well, be enthusiastic and shout hallelujah. And just take it steady, folks. I'm not used to that. Not some of the audiences I talk to. I'm used to talking to a lot of very conservative Christians. And they think if a person even claps in a meeting like this, it's getting awfully sinful. I'm telling you, folks, I know what it is to talk to cold conservative Christians. The reason they're cold and conservative is because they only believe these things in their head, but they don't believe them in their hearts. But when you believe these things in your heart, it is the greatest news, it is the best news, and it is the greatest uplift for a man in the world. I want to say to you, if Christ means anything to you, you ought to be glad and you ought to rejoice and you ought to be happy, and the message of Jesus ought to turn you on. And if it doesn't, it's because you're spiritually dead and you need to repent and to come to the cross, Christ on the cross. And so he's going to come again. I'll tell you one story, then I'm going to have a prayer with you. I was up in the Philippines some time ago, and somebody going to clap that, were they? I think we must have some wonderful Filipino people here. But I was in the Philippines, and they took me into the mountains outside Manila and showed me this old prisoner of war camp. There were a great bunch of Australians and British and some Americans were there as prisoners of war, and lots of missionaries. And the Japanese had made up their minds as the war came to an end that they were going to kill every one of them. They were going to wipe them out. They said, if we're going to die, they're going to die with us. And they set the day. And the day was set when the Japanese were going to bring these missionaries and these Americans and these Australians and the British, and they were going to bring them out on the firing line, and they were going to shoot every one of them. But thanks be to God, the message got through to the Americans. And the Americans sent a task force to deliver them. And on the very morning, would you believe it, as the sun came up and as the flag of Japan with the rising sun was pulled up to the top of the mast, and as the soldiers got ready the machine guns, there was a roar from the skies, and American airplanes came over and dropped off paratroopers. And they were delivered. The people were delivered at the 11th hour as they were facing death. Listen to me. Last night I talked about the Antichrist. On Wednesday night, we're going to talk about the last great conflict, the tremendous great conflict that this country and the rest of the world is going to go through. And listen, when things look their worst, when things seem the darkest and things seem the most depressing, when things reach their crisis point in the history of planet Earth and all men despair, almost all men despair, Christ is going to come and save his people. That is the message of Easter. That is the message of the risen Christ. And I want to have prayer with you. I want you, please, to bow your head. And we're going to have a little talk with the Lord, if you don't mind. Let's all bow our heads. Our precious Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you for the historicity of the Christ event. We thank you that this little baby who was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago was more than a baby, more than just a beautiful little Jewish male child. We thank you he was God come down to this planet. We thank you that he was the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful Counselor. We thank you that this little baby was Prince Emmanuel. And because he has come to this world, things can never, never, never be the same again. We thank you that he lived a perfect life, kept the law of God perfectly as no man has ever done. That on the cross, he bore our sin. We thank you that he went to the cross and took the sludge of mankind upon himself. And we thank you too, Lord, that he came up out of the tomb and he's alive and he's in heaven and he cares for us and he sees us and he loves us and he succors us and he helps us. And so today, our Father, we praise you and we bless you for Jesus. We honor you. We acknowledge him to be the Lord. And we look forward to the day when in the clouds of heaven with fiery angels, he will come again as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Oh God, bless this great audience here today and into our hearts, bring the Holy Spirit and write these things upon our souls today. As we're praying today with our heads bowed and our eyes closed in the presence of God with this great crowd in the shrine, how many today would like to raise a hand and say, thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. I want him as the Lord of my life. I want him as my Savior. King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Dear Father, bless these upraised hands that represent upraised hearts. Put your Spirit in us, Lord, and keep us near to the cross, and help us to trust you and to love you and to serve you and at last to see you face to face. For Jesus' sake, amen and amen.